Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today. Today's issue is a time of testing. Our nation's fabric is being tested. I call it the warp and the woof. That's the old, old, old term for the thread going up and thread going across, parallel and across. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the absolute fabric of America is being tested. And in that fabric of America, we're talking about the fundamental foundational foundation stones of America. And that's our Constitution, our Bill of Rights. We're being tested today, ladies and gentlemen, and it's bringing about hysteria, hair on fire, trance among many people today with panic. And that panic is causing a grave, grave disservice to our citizens. And by all means, when we talk about that enemy, we're watching government close churches, and I'm vitally concerned about it. We talked about it a moment ago. Let me just recap briefly. Our Bill of Rights is now being made vacuous and void and non-effect. The rule of law has been absolutely abrogated. The right of association that's guaranteed in our Constitution and Bill of Rights, the right of association, is now being contravened and banned by fiat. There's no indication, ladies and gentlemen, there's no scientific proof that somehow, some way, if you stop having worship services, that you're going to counter or you're going to turn back the coronavirus. Now, I understand, and I've said before and I'll say again, yes, we need to institute good hygiene methods and methodologies. We've got four sons, and we taught those that were growing up, wash your hands, don't sneeze on somebody, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We're finding that's having to be reinstituted, and adults are having to be told what to do with typical hygiene of keeping the hands clean, et cetera, et cetera. The right to keep and bear arms is one of the other things, ladies and gentlemen, our Second Amendment right that's being contravened and absolutely overridden. We'll talk about that further in the broadcast with evidence of what's taking place. But it's sad when you see mayors of cities, like the mayor of New Orleans and the mayor of Champaign, Illinois, that's taken upon themselves to declare martial law themselves and say that the sale of guns and ammunition is banned and just doing it by fiat. I'm concerned about that. I'm concerned, ladies and gentlemen, when we find U.S. jails releasing hundreds of inmates to protect them from the coronavirus despite there's no known cases. Listen, that's taking place. Here's the article dated March 17th. Do you know what we need during the national emergency? More alleged criminals out on the streets. If it weren't so sad, it would be laughable, ladies and gentlemen. I'm reading you a very real article. This is apparently the lesson we're supposed to take away from the officials in Cuyahoga County, Ohio, the jurisdiction in which the city of Cleveland is located. Ohio's second most populous county has decided to release hundreds and hundreds of inmates from Cuyahoga County Jail because of the coronavirus fears. Here's the thing. Not a single person in jail was known to be infected in the prison system in Cuyahoga County. According to the news media, judges on the Cuyahoga County court were concerned that the virus might quickly spread in the facilities. A judge now made the decision. Case wasn't brought. The evidence was not presented. There was no plaintiff. There was no defendant. The judge simply made the decision that we need to release all the prisoners because we're fearful that the coronavirus might get into the prison. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that was a fiat decision by a judge that if I were to say, and I've not looked up his record, but I would say he's probably an Obama-appointed, Obama-night judge. And as a result of that, he'd be in the category that I call a loose, likes, lost liberal that has the mindset that God's called him somehow to save America and therefore is releasing all the prisoners. This article continues, says the judges held a special Saturday morning session to settle cases with guilty pleas, releasing inmates and send them to prison or release them on house arrest. According to CNN News, more than 200 at one time were just released from jail out of the population of 1,970. That's about a fifth of the total inmates released at one time. You got to remember, this article says, the goal of this is to protect the community and the safety of the inmates. Protect the community and the safety of the inmates. That's an oxymoron. You release prisoners, you release felons out on the street, and there's a sense of panic in America. They have no job and probably can get no job. What are they going to do? They're going to burglarize your car. They're going to burglarize your home. They're going to put lives in danger. They're going to steal anything that you've hoarded away thinking that you've got it all licked for the next 6 months if you have to bunker down. They're going to be going from house to house and community to community, doing harm to the citizens simply because they've been released on the basis that supposedly it's for their good. And for the community's good, this article says, if someone's a seriously violent person, well, We're using our discretion to make sure the community is safe. One of the judges said in his hysterical, nonsensical, total decision to do that harm to the community. Ladies and gentlemen, the fifth thing we're talking about now, what is taking place? What's really happening? We're seeing our Bill of Rights absolutely made vacuous and of none effect and void. Our rule of law has been abrogated. The right of association has been abridged. The right to keep and bear arms is now being absolutely abridged and are curtailed in counties across America by fiat decisions without the rule of law, without a fundamental foundational constitutional right to do so by mayors across America. Citizens are put out of work and told to just sit in silence. In fact, I'm looking at an article that says Mnuchin says that the White House is working to send $1,000 checks to most every citizen within 3 weeks. The White House and the Congress have so far passed two stimulus packages. Listen very carefully, ladies and gentlemen. The question was asked Mnuchin and others when they were talking about this. Now, the government's decided to shut down business. Now the government's deciding that we're going to pay those that are out of work. Now, I understand the rationale behind that, but it's an oxymoron to begin with of saying we're going to shut the business down, and now we're going to print money to pay those that are laid off that have no income. I am absolutely passionately concerned for multiple millions of workers today that have no job and that mega numbers of small businesses that are closing and will probably have to go belly up bankrupt as a result of the fiat decision made by governmental officials that that's what we ought to do. There's never been a time in American history that I know of where this has been done. It's the first time. And the question was asked, well, where's the money coming from? And it's out of what is called printing of money, simply running the presses to print more greenbacks to put them in the economy. And the statement was made, well, we need to flush the system. We need to flush it with cash so that it keeps the wheels turning and keeps things going. Well, where's it coming from? No, it's fiat money. It's called monetary easing. Monetary easing is where the federal government will buy stocks and bonds and gold, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, to keep the market going. We have lost in the past 2 weeks, ladies and gentlemen, with the drop of about 10,000 on the stock market. That's equivalent to about $15 to $20 trillion. $15 to $20 trillion. Now, I don't know about you. I can't even count that high. But that's as a result of the decisions it's made that I believe are unwarranted, that are unjust, that are unlawful, that's been made on a national level for both the federal, state, and local governments making those decisions. And yet we are going to suffer the future consequences as a result of it. And ladies and gentlemen, we find the sad, sad thing is that we have governmental agencies that have decided that they're going to simply by fiat carry out the duty, if you please, of protecting the world themselves. Citizens are put out of work and told that they can just sit in silence. Churches are closing without cause or legal precedence. Today, Christian churches and Christians, like sheep without a shepherd, are simply saying, yes, sir, government. Now, I don't know about you. Your pastor may feel different. That's all right. You may feel different. That's okay. You may disagree with my position. That's all right. But if by fiat decision, the federal, state, or local governments can say, you must close your churches, when can they do that otherwise rather than just in so-called pandemic or panic or hysteria? If they view it as you having a privilege, they can take that privilege away. But it's our right, R-I-G-H-T, it's the right of the citizens to worship with no governmental intervention, no governmental bans or restrictions. We have the right to worship if there's 2 or if there's 2,000. Now, you might say, well, wow, it's not what the government's saying. Certainly it's not. But I'm concerned about, ladies and gentlemen, let me give you some hypotheticals that I have pondered. Across America, the overwhelming majority, about 90% of the churches, are 500 or less. Out of that 90%, about 50% of those are 200 and less. Out of that 50%, the overwhelming majority of them have major debt. If people are not in worship service bodily, physically, generally speaking, they will not write a check for tithes and offerings. If that church is closed 2 weeks, 3 weeks, or 4 weeks, and I'm here to tell you, it won't be for 2 weeks. They will, at the end of 2 weeks, say, we need to go 2 more weeks. They are using a psychological babble that it's just going to be for a brief period of time, just closed for 2 weeks, then everything will be all right. If we at the beginning point of the curve that we supposedly have not reached the apex of those infected, if we're just at the beginning point of that rise in the affected populace, then how will 2 weeks stem that in any fashion? And if 2 weeks from now they say we've got to do it another 4 weeks, then I'm here to say, ladies and gentlemen, I believe that across America we'll find churches that will wind up being permanently closed, permanently disabused, and as a result of that, ladies and gentlemen, have to go out of business or make major decisions to borrow money because, generally speaking, they cannot float themselves. Just like in most families that's listening to my voice even now, most families go from week to week paying the bills based on your income for that week. Most churches are in the same position. Had someone recently say, well, I never thought about that. Think about it. If you're not in church for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, has the church supported? What underwrites the paying of the bills? And God has so ordained that his church is carried out and the ministry supported by those that are blood-bought, Bible-saved, born again. And that's not going to happen if there are a whole host of folks staying home because the government said shut your church down. I believe we should not cease to worship. I believe that God's called us, especially at a time of crisis, to worship him, to praise him, to honor him, to serve him, to submit and surrender our lives under his lordship, and to recognize that he is the authority. He is the one that's sovereign. He's the one that's in control. He's the one that's on the throne. He's the one that is absolutely knowledgeable and aware and in control of all that's taking place. Why would God do anything or bring about anything that would cause the church to cease and desist worshiping and praising him? Find it in the scripture for me. It's antithetical to the truth of the word of God. It is absolutely contrary to what the scripture says. If we're going to do anything, ladies and gentlemen, we ought to be willing to adhere to the scripture where it says, be anxious, that is careful, where it means anxious, worried, concerned for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep, tereo, encircle your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That ought to be the position of everyone listening to the under the sound of my voice, if you're saved. Here's an article that says the California governor warns that he has the ability to do martial law. California Democratic Governor Gavin Newsom warned Wednesday that he has the ability to do martial law, to deal with the coronavirus outbreak. Newsom was speaking to reporters about the mobilization, of the National Guard, emphasizing it routinely uses during national disasters and other emergencies. But he added, quote, we have the ability to do martial law if we feel it necessary, end quote. This article further says imposing martial law would mean replacing the usual laws, replacing the usual laws with military authority, possibly suspending all civil liberties, such as freedom of association, freedom of movement, and freedom of worship. Already, six counties in San Francisco Bay Area have ordered residents to remain in their homes with exception of the necessary travel. Previously, the governor ordered bars, movie theaters, restaurants, gyms, and other venues to shut down. The National Guard is on alert for food distribution and public safety missions on an as-needed basis. Ladies and gentlemen, you put National Guard on the streets in America. You put these camouflaged, uniformed National Guardsmen on duty. It's already taking place now in one of the upstate New York cities, an entire town carted off and surrounded by National Guardsmen. And, of course, the governor, Governor Cuomo of New York, says that it's not to intimidate people. It's there to help distribute food and so forth. What are you going to think if you drive into a city and you see every corridor and every street, every entrance to the city and exit from the city patrolled by armed, uniformed National Guardsmen? That's going to cause panic across our nation, ladies and gentlemen. It's a time for the Christian, though, to stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen. Don't sequester yourself into a closet in total cowardice and silence. Let me just simply say again, we've had about 100 deaths. Yes, that is sad. Yes, that is it should cause us all to be sorrowful for those families left. But that is nothing in comparison, ladies and gentlemen, to the number of those that die because of shootings each weekend. Nothing compared to those that are dying as a result of overdose and opioids. Nothing compared to those that are dying from the use of pot and marijuana that is found in Colorado and Oregon and Washington State and California and other states, some 33 states that have legalized pot to be sold, where our kids are dying, being sent to the emergency room, preteens overdosing on mom and dad's pot-laced gummy bears and chocolate chip cookies, et cetera, et cetera. We've gone pot crazy, but yet we're saying nothing about the 176 people a day that die as a result of opioid overdose. We're saying nothing about those, ladies and gentlemen, that die as a result of the pot ingestion that's killing our teenagers and our youngsters today. And we're so supposed to be in a state of hysteria and panic because of the coronavirus? Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that 100% of the media, 100% of the media's focus is on the coronavirus. There are today, ladies and gentlemen, so many other real events that are taking place and going on. It's under the radar. Nothing else has been broadcast today. I said earlier, and I touched on it, we're not told about how many people are dying every day in Chicago and Baltimore and Detroit and New York by drug lords and drug overdose and by gang murders. Why? Because this news does not fit the narrative for the liberal left and the fake, phony, false media. What about the drugs and the opioids and the overdose deaths and that continue to ravage America? That's not on the news. There's total silence. It seems that there are evidently no other serious crimes, murders and crack heads and crashes and suicide, no other crimes taking place in America today. Total silence. The coronavirus news has silenced the Trump reelection team. The coronavirus panic has silenced and sequestered anything of the Trump rallies that will get the Trump news out. And ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. I believe there's a nexus there. And that nexus is between the Trump rallies, the Trump reelection, and the Christian churches and the Christians in America. It's the Christians in America that supported and put President Donald J. Trump in office. It's the Christians in America that presently support Trump and what he's done for the past almost 4 years. It's the Christians, the churches in America that's undergirded and supported President Donald J. Trump. And it's the Christian, the churches now, that at the very apex of the election year, that's now being silenced and sequestered and put away and said that you cannot gather together to worship. I want somebody to show me a law, a constitutional remedy, an answer for that. We're not hearing anything about anything other than the coronavirus news that has silenced everything about the reelection for President Donald J. Trump. The socialist, Marxist, communist, Democrats agenda is now being fully funded by way of the coronavirus and the assistance funding of the billions and billions of dollars. A $1 trillion package has been passed. They're now working on the third funding package for the coronavirus supposed pandemic in the world and in America. Most of these funds are not going, ladies and gentlemen, to the virus. Perhaps you have been believing that, but let me just take the air out of the balloon. That's not happening. Ladies and gentlemen, the overwhelming majority of the funding that's in the $8.2 billion, I believe it was, package, overwhelming majority is going to put presents under the socialist, Marxist, Democrats, Christmas tree. Things that they could not otherwise get passed happen to be attachments and riders in the coronavirus funding bill. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, some of the other news that you have not heard of from the fake media. Hundreds of U.S. prisoners are being released back onto the public streets, hundreds of them today, into local communities due to the coronavirus panic. Many are dangerous felons. Some are there as felons because of burglaries, and some are there because of murder, et cetera, et cetera. They will be out there, burglarize the citizen's home. They'll acquire whatever they feel they want or need. It's very dangerous. Iran, for example, right now, ladies and gentlemen, is right on the very prefaces of going into full strike mode against the United States of America, and they're hitting targets and killing American soldiers in Iraq and other places. America is now in a literal face-off, ready for the full-scale war. No news on that. Nothing being given to the general public about that. Saudi Arabia and Russia are in an oil war. Prices are now below $20 a barrel. American oil production will have to shut down its oil-producing apparatus if oil drops under $30 a barrel. That's happening. This will destroy American superiority in oil and gas production. Saudi Arabia wants to bankrupt America and its oil production, and yet we're calling Saudi Arabia our friend. That's not in the news. Nothing is being said. governors are declaring martial law across America, and governors and mayors are doing the same thing. We're going to take a moment for a caller. I believe I have a call on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
If you were kind of pulling all the strings around the world, and your intent, your drive, your desire was to weaken America, to sink America, to destroy America, what else would you do? I mean, you kind of you're putting together a lot of the different pieces, and you know, on a macroeconomic level, it seems like just about every punch that could be thrown is being thrown. You know, I kind of expect China and you know, anybody else, is, you know, Russia's doing the oil production thing to their fight with OPEC has oil as low, just like you said. This comes right on the heels of the COVID-19 thing. But economically, what could be done? You know, a country like China could say, you know what, we're going to dump all these U.S. treasuries into a market where right now the Federal Reserve Bank is buying treasuries at a major lick. Their repo market is there to inject more liquidity into the market. You know, $1.5 trillion in one day, literally at the pace that they're running. And you know, the president's talking about another $1 trillion injection through these, you know, giveaways. You know, that's it's all of D.C. and I'm not putting this on Donald Trump, but on a macroeconomic level. Doing what's taking place now, you know, watching what's taking place now. We're going to stare at another $2 trillion in debt this year. By the way, the left loves this. We're going to stare at another $2 trillion in debt this year, but it may very well send us over the cliff, and we may be staring at a runaway inflation scenario very, 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 very quickly. But again,
all of what we're watching, as you said, it's like Christmas time for the liberals. Go ahead.
Like I was saying, is there anything else that somebody could imagine doing if they're pulling strings in order to destroy America? Because it seems like this is all taking place one thing right on the heels of the next, on the next, on the next. And you've got those folks, and you just mentioned that $8 billion spending plan. That's the tip of the iceberg. However, it was nearly four times what President Trump requested. There are all these additional extraneous spending items within that that you go – this doesn't make any sense. And for a long time, what's been said, you know, follow the money and you'll find the truth. If you chase these down, you'll find out that this is how your senators and congressmen become millionaires or billionaires, because they're in control of our purse. Actually, your kids and your grandkids and your great grandkids' purse, because that's the money they're spending today. They're not spending money they have. They're spending our grandchildren's money today. They're bankrupting the future of America. And what for? What for? We're probably at the end of the day, the end of 2020, we're probably going to see 20,000 deaths, maybe 30,000 deaths, about half of what the flu will bring us this year. It's horrible to see a single death, but this is contrived. It's manufactured chaos. If Barack Obama were in office today, you would not see the chaos. You would not see the 24/7 CNN, MSNBC, all your mainstream media nitwits salute in a panic. Granted, this is costing lives, so we can't play it down, but they are making it to be something that it is not.
Greg, hang in there. We've got another caller, but I want you to be pondering for a moment, because we're going to talk about, for the balance of the broadcast, about martial law. What is martial law? Is it constitutional? I'm going to read an article from Judge Neapolitano that talks about its assault on our Constitution and the violation of our Constitution, and especially the Bill of Rights. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
Good morning, Dr. Youngblood. It's Brother Davis.
Good morning, Brother Davis. I hope you're doing well.
Yes, sir. Everything is fine. I just wanted to make a comment on to some of what I've heard, and it's very disturbing to see the call that was made and the power that has actually gripped our society with. Now, maybe there might be a good reason for the call. I don't know. I mean, probably will never really know the true motive behind it. But what if, I mean, there's another motive that might come up in the future, that they might not use this particular call to set a precedent to force everyone to just do what they want them to do. That's all I had to say. Thank you.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. You're exactly right. If you can ask people to do it voluntarily now, then it is, becomes a norm, and then it would be a natural thing to go forward with it. Greg, take a moment. I'm going to read the blurb from Judge Neapolitano. I want you to comment on it in the last few minutes we have. Article says, Judge Andrew Neapolitano, coronavirus fears lets government assault our freedom in violation of our Constitution. The Constitution of the United States is a law for rulers and people equally in war and in peace, and covers with the shield of its protection of all classes of men at all times and under all circumstances. This is a decision made by the U.S. Supreme Court in 1866. During the Civil War, when President Abraham Lincoln thought it expedient to silence those in the northern states who challenged his wartime decision, he did so by incarcerating them in military prisons in the name of public safety. He was rebuked by a unanimous Supreme Court decision. The essence of the rebuke in that is that no matter what state is, what a state of differences may be, whatever war or pestilence is, the Constitution protects our natural rights, and its provisions are to be upheld when the pinch, as well as in the pinch, as well as when they are in comfort. This basic principle of American law, our rights can only be interfered with by means of due process. It's being put on severe test today by most American states. Here's the backstory. Then he gives the backstory, and further he says, the feds have been so protective of their control of health care, an area of governance that the Supreme Court has ruled is nowhere designated or delegated to them, the Constitution, and but for their power to tax those who defy them, who is non-existent, that they insisted the only Center for Disease Control Prevention in Atlanta would be the only place for tests. Further, he says, all of this, the protection of the First Amendment, of the right to associate and justifiably recognize their right to travel, both of which are natural rights, and it is clear that these many state rules are unconstitutional, unlawful, and unworthy of any respect or any compliance with them, end quote. In the last minute and a half we've got, Greg, speak to that issue.
Well, the Democrats have operated under an interim motto for a few years now, and it's never let a good crisis go to waste. We've watched over and over. I mean, a very good case in point would be Hurricane Katrina, and New Orleans was mostly underwater. It was amazing how the mayor refused to use the city buses, school buses, to get folks out of town. He let chaos continue down, downhill. Governor Landrieu refused to let George Bush send in the National Guard. However,
Greg,
when everything went chaotic,
we got about 30 seconds. Wrap us up today.
Okay. These are test cases, and I believe folks, your Second Amendment protected folks then. However, they still went in and took guns away. Keep in mind your rights here, because there is a national emergency or a local emergency. Stand for what is right. Stand true, and things will be all right. Thank you for listening today.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time as, once again, we face the issues.
With Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.